Gentlemen, we are met tonight to pay tribute to Isaac Deutscher, the man and his work. But I should like to say at once that we do not propose to turn this meeting simply into a meeting of lamentation. Of course, all of us in this hall, and many people outside, deeply mourn in a bitter and personal way tragic and premature death of one who was an inspiration, an example to so many. But I think I may say that Isaac Deutscher himself would not have wished this simply to be a meeting of lamentation and eulogy alone. If at all, what we must try and do, what we propose to do, is in paying tribute to him and his work, to evoke, to assess the meaning and content of that work and the contribution it has made to that cause which to him was dearer than any other, strengthening the resuscitation almost of an international socialist movement. And it is in this spirit that I hope we may see this meeting. Before calling upon those on the platform to address you, I should like to read two messages which I have received. One from Bertrand Russell, a message written at the time of Isaac Deutscher's death for the bulletin of the Bertrand Russell Foundation, in which he was asked should be read at this memorial meeting. It goes as follows. The respect which I felt for Isaac Deutscher originated in an appreciation of his scholarship, but was enriched greatly by my acquaintance with the man. As an historian, he was outstanding. His works on the Russian Revolution are a monumental achievement. He was able to show the glory of that revolution, whilst never entering into the conspiracy of concealment of its defects, which many Western socialists considered necessary. His independence was always repellent to orthodoxy. Isaac Deutscher allowed himself to be used by no one. His acute criticisms of the communist powers could not be exploited in the propaganda of the Cold War, for he embodied profoundly humane convictions which disturbed the complacency of the West by uncovering the barbarity so inexorably linked to its affluence. I associate with him every value which inspired the International War Crimes Tribunal. It is fitting that he was the first to accept membership of the tribunal. The death of Isaac Deutscher is a severe blow to all who are interested in finding the truth in international politics. His scholarship was careful and impeccable. At the same time, his opinions were those of a man whose feelings are right and just. The combination is rare. Still rarer was his determination to act upon his belief unhesitatingly. He, in whom these qualities were combined, will not easily be replaced. And the other is from the other message is from Professor E.H. Carr, who writes, "I'm afraid I shall be away at the time of the memorial meeting, otherwise I should very much have liked to be there. I had known Isaac very well for more than 20 years. This is not the kind of occasion on which one would talk about personal relations, but I should like to have said a few words about him in his capacity as a historian of the USSR, for he was a great deal more than a biographer of some of his leading figures. I do not know any writer on the subject who seems to me to have thrown so much light on it, and I have constantly learned from his writings as well as from his criticisms, published and unpublished, of my own. And there is no one with whose views on the subject I have found myself so closely in agreement. It is a terrible loss that his career should have been cut short and that we shall now not have his crowning biography of Lenin. This is an irreparable loss, particularly in a field where well-informed and balanced judgment is so rare." All the people on this platform knew Isaac Deutscher, some of them extremely closely for many years. He was their mentor and his friend. And the first person I should like to call upon to address you is Daniel Singer, the London correspondent, the Paris correspondent of The Economist, who stood in relation to him in a manner as close to that of a member of a family, Daniel Singer.
"Because I had the great privilege of knowing Isaac Deutscher all my conscious life, I have been asked to tell you something about the man behind the brilliant writer, the great historian, the socialist thinker and fighter. I must confess that at first I was rather worried. Personal grief is something one hides or expresses in a small circle of friends. And then I remembered a passage in his biography in which he referred to Trotsky as essentially a political man. Obviously, the whole monumental trilogy shows that Trotsky was a man of blood and flesh. Similarly, all those who know Isaac Deutscher can tell you how humane and warm-hearted he was. Besides, born when he was and where he was, he did not storm the Winter Palace or lead the Red Army. And yet, his adult life, too, was shaped essentially by his political convictions. This is why I shall now try to show how, quite apart from his writing and his exceptional gifts, Isaac Deutscher's life, too, has a meaning and a message here and everywhere for people of mine and younger and future generations. True, he was born 60 years ago near Krakow in a peculiar community that is no longer, the Jewish community of Eastern Europe, wiped out by Hitler. Oppressed and respectful of learning, that community provided more than its share of children for the revolutionary struggle. It provided Rosa Luxemburg and a good proportion of the Bolshevik leadership. But we should not idealize this East European Jewry. It had its class and social differences, its religious fanaticism and superstition. Only this can explain why a man like Isaac's father, a cultured, well-to-do printer, an admirer of Heine and Lassalle, allowed his son to be trained on the Talmud. How Isaac's religious career ended at the age of 13. Most of you probably know, but the story is worth telling again, because it shows in the child the spirit of the man. To check his growing doubts about the existence of God, he picked the night of a Jewish holiday and the grave of a great rabbi to swallow his ham sandwich and his fears. Young Isaac was already defying the gods. If not a great rabbi, he was going to be a great poet. Mystical to start with, then a futurist, he showed such promise in his teens that critics hailed him as the star of tomorrow. But already he felt cramped by his environment. He left Krakow for the capital. It was in Warsaw, in my parents' home, that the young poet came into contact with Marxist socialism. The young man was ripe for the challenge. Only recently, he described how impatient he then was to change the world. Brought up amid collapsing empires and crumbling societies, amid pogroms, social upheavals, within a primitive capitalist society where social injustice hit the eye, he was not going to cultivate his poetic garden, accepting passively the world as it stood. He was going to fight with others to change it. The rebel became a revolutionary. Isaac Deutscher joined the Communist Party. There, he found an outlet for his talents and energy in both illegal and semi-legal action, carrying out propaganda in the army, lecturing, editing papers and pamphlets. The young man was rapidly climbing the party ladder. But already then, socialism was for him inseparable from respect for man, and therefore for truth. The Stalinist disease was spreading beyond Russia's frontiers. A violent campaign was being waged against Trotsky. The issues at stake were important, including an assessment of the rise of Nazism. Young Deutscher was not content with just repeating the indictment. He read avidly both sides of the case. In 1932, he was expelled from the party and became one of the leaders of the Trotskyist opposition. There followed several years of difficult propaganda, but also of learning. Typically, shaken by his expulsion, Deutscher went to the sources of classical Marxism to test his convictions. It was then that he studied Das Kapital so thoroughly and emerged from this study with the feeling that he now dominated much vaster horizons. Incidentally, in recent years he was puzzled by his British critics. I am thinking particularly of an academic clown performing on television and in the Sunday papers. He was wondering how such an intelligent man could cling to such an old-fashioned doctrine. Deutscher was puzzled because he could not understand how men born after Copernicus still argued about astronomy in terms of Ptolemy. Marxism was not for Deutscher a new Talmud for abstract disputation and useful quotation. It was a Weltanschauung in a critical method of thought. Nor was it a fatalistic doctrine for would-be failures. It was for the oppressed an instrument of struggle for the transformation of the world and of man. Study was coupled with work. Deutscher, with Monet Seyd as the sub-editor, was publishing pamphlets and short-lived magazines. He also wrote his first major work, A History of Pilsudski's Poland. But as the police was knocking at the door of our flat where Isaac was then living, his manuscript had to be burnt in the kitchen. The net of the police was closing down. Hitler's armies were soon to strike. And Deutscher, the internationalist, felt the need for a larger stage. In 1939, he came to this country. War soon broke out. He felt terribly lonely